time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
So this week I chatted to Brooke again, and this week we were talking about Ihu Mātou and the purchase of land there using the housing fund, and we sort of went into the justification behind it. And then also we talked about New Zealand's borders when it comes to COVID-19 and opening them up to Niue, and how our relationship with Australia is looking at this point in time. So here is that catch up. This week I was wanting to start off by talking about Ihu Mātou and the government purchasing land using the housing fund. So what game do you think the government is playing here?
Oh, look, I think this is a serious issue for the government. Ultimately, the government last year when it was conducting the Ihu Mātou deal said, look, this has no implication for treaty settlement issues. But they had redacted all the information, and we just stumbled upon some information from Treasury who gave advice to the government last year and said, well, because you're using land and housing money that's been set aside for land and housing, not a treaty settlement pot of money, this could open a whole can of worms for a whole bunch of different iwi saying, well, ultimately, no longer are our treaty settlement processes full and final. And this has huge, huge implications for the future of the country. And we've written to the Auditor General and said we believe this is a misappropriation of funds, because if you look at KiwiBuild, which is the government's policy for housing and building more homes so that we have homes for our families to live in, that's what that money was set aside for. You can't just dip into whatever pot of money that you want. There are rules around these things. So for the government to say, oh, don't worry, there isn't an issue, it doesn't have any treaty implication, but then to use money that was set aside to build homes for a deal, it just reeks of a lack of accountability, no transparency from the government who attempted to cover this all up, and in fact a misappropriation of funds. So I think there are some serious questions that the Auditor General should have of the government.
Is there any way that the government could justify this purchase?
Definitely not in the way that they have. Definitely not. I mean, ultimately Treasury gives advice to the government and they said, look, you shouldn't be allowed to use land and housing money for this, because that is specific for land and housing money into building homes. They did propose another way of going forward, a memorandum of understanding, bringing a whole bunch of people around the table to say how was a good process for going forward to deal with the land in a way that everybody could agree with going forward. That is not the approach that they decided to go with. Instead, they tried to sneakily take money from building homes to put in place. They took $30 million for the deal at Ihu Mātou. And I think we should have some serious questions of the government about what their intention is there, but also whether they actually have any faith left in their housing building policy, because they didn't have any problem with spending $30 million that was set aside for building homes for our lower socioeconomic people, for KiwiBuild, and they just completely threw it away.
So with Ihu Mātou, it has been, with Fletcher was going to be developing it for housing, and from the Senate, the government has talked about also using part of that land for housing. Does this not flow in and saying that using this fund for both housing and treaty settlement could be used as an effective use of money?
No, not when you look at it, because essentially they were going to build homes on that land anyway. By using this money that was for housing and land development, they haven't actually built any more homes yet. We've had this whole process that's gone on, and we're still behind a couple of hundred of houses which we were supposed to have. I don't believe, because they didn't go down that route of the memorandum of understanding, getting people around the table and looking at a development structure to go forward, there aren't any homes yet on that land. If the process had gone ahead with Fletcher's, as was intended, we may actually have hundreds of families in affordable housing, which we don't currently under this government.
Okay, so I wanted to move on to our next topic for this week, which was talking about the COVID borders, in particular with Australia. So we've seen the government open up the border to Niue, and as a major country in the Pacific, we have a role in looking after our neighbours, particularly seeing as we're better off than many. Does this not justify why we've opened up the borders to them?
Well, I think this is another example this week of a lack of transparency. So if you remember back to last year, the government was saying, no, we can't open the border to the islands because we're trying to open up to Australia first. Now they've opened up to Niue, and they haven't gone any closer to opening up to Australia. But there's still that question there. Yes, it's good that we've opened up to Niue. What does that mean for some, for the Cook Islands, for those countries that are in fact more useful in the term that they actually bring seasonal workers to New Zealand who want to help help our economy and take money back home to the islands for their own families? Those people aren't necessarily from Niue. They're from Samoa and from the Cook Islands. So if we can open up to Niue, why isn't that happening for the rest of the islands? There is no real clear intent behind this. But we also need to start looking better at what is a European world like. And you're right, we do need to open up more to our neighbours, but there isn't a real plan going forward that we can see other than this one-off that will open to Niue.
So I wanted to touch on opening up to Australia, and ACT has talked about opening up the border to New South Wales. So what is there to stop a similar situation like we've seen with Auckland with Level 3, where we've seen a huge rush of people come out of Auckland to escape Level 3, but in this case, the opposite, where people rush to New South Wales to get to New Zealand? What would stop people from coming from places where COVID might be present to New South Wales and then travelling to New Zealand?
Well, I think the ultimate problem will be the backlog. There is still the inability for the government to set a real clear plan and look at how we can re-engage with the rest of the world. And sure, we talk about Australia a lot, but part of the ACT plan also includes countries like Singapore and Taiwan, where they have not a lot of COVID problems. You know, these are the countries that are leading the world in their COVID response. And already we've seen that amongst themselves, they're able to do travel bubbles with businesses being able to cross borders and network and bring in industry and money by doing so. We need to be looking far more strategically at how can we get small groups of people safely into the country so we can interact and regroup. But we haven't had any form of, I guess, the government wanting to move forward on that, which is really disappointing. Ultimately, we can't be closed off from the rest of the world forever. And we do need to have a plan with our vaccine strategy, which will help. And once again, that's fallen by the wayside, and we still don't have an actual plan about when they expect most New Zealanders to be vaccinated. Until we have all of these things, all of our ducks in a row, I don't see how we could possibly be opening up to Australia, but we need to.
So I also wanted to ask, like, should all so much blame be put on the New Zealand government when the Australian government has been going back and forth just as much when it comes to each time we have a few COVID cases, they've sort of said, no, we don't want you coming over here at all?
Well, there's always the need to seek for continuous improvement. The government has done a good job in some cases, by making sure that we have lockdowns to keep community outbreaks from spreading even further. But ultimately, if we had a good process in place, better strategies at MIQ, actually asking questions about how we can get the vaccine out into the community, we wouldn't be needing these continuous lockdowns for community outbreaks. And it's through seeking for that betterment and improvement to make sure that we don't get community outbreaks. Then we can cross the border much easier. And I think the Australians are actually doing a good job in trying to maintain their own community outbreaks too.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.